We're going to take your phone calls now this hour with Cheryl Jones. Conversations with Cheryl when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back now to our Conversations with Cheryl, your phone calls, as we will dive right into them in a moment. And all things paranormal, just fire away. What's our next assignment? Have you worked on it yet, Cheryl, for what you're going to do in January?
That's a show in development. We'll wait a while before we announce exactly what direction we're going in, but we're working on that.
Okay, great. And thanks for working the holiday with me. I appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's a special night, and I think we would all like to see a great 2021 after what we've been through. It's been the strangest year. It almost defies logic. In fact, stranger than fiction for 2020.
Do you find yourself sometimes when you write checks for the new year that you put the old year on? I do that sometimes.
I usually have a few of those situations, yes. It's really hard to reprogram your brain when it comes to time. Maybe Robert had a point there. We're affected by time in so many ways and perplexing ways.
Yep, we sure are. We sure are. I just hope everything works out. I hope the vaccine for people who do take it works and that these COVID cases start to drop. I am concerned about the fact that they don't mention the flu. They don't mention flu deaths. They don't mention flu afflictions. And I'm gonna speculate that a lot of the deaths that have been attributed to COVID were also flu deaths that they just threw in there.
I think so, because it's strange. I read a story, I believe it was San Diego, that didn't have the normal flu cases, or at least nearly as many as normally, because of course, COVID. Had a lot of COVID cases, but not so much flu, and you don't hear about it. I'm concerned about that, too. I'm concerned about the testing, the validity and the credibility of the testing, because so much is determined, and all of these mandates and everything is based on what they call the science and the numbers and the data. Well, if the data is not accurate, then you're wrong-headed in what you do. So I am concerned about that. A lot of people are, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think of the presidential election?
Oh, my goodness. I think I like John's way of putting it, that he's not a right-winger or a left-winger, but a free-winger. And I think that, quite honestly, of all the bad things that have happened in 2020, I really have a sense that the good thing that has come of it is that people are waking up. They've become more aware, more informed in terms of what's going on. And I have always said, and you know, I've been out of mainstream news and over on the alternative side for many years. That was my concern long ago, that people really need to understand that what they see on mainstream news, or really in any source, they have to broaden their horizon in their research and not just take that as gospel, because there is more behind the curtain, and you have to follow the money and see who is profiting from each particular situation and what personal or political or financial motive there might be to create scenarios that we have that absolutely make no sense. You know, we've lost common sense, it seems, in certain things. I am really concerned about all of the shutdowns. I really feel the best shot that we could have is opening up all of the businesses again, and we do the best we can. So many of the mandates, not many of them, but for instance, keeping your hands clean and being careful around other people, not going out if you're sick, that's not a COVID directive. That's something that's common sense that we've known for forever.
All right, let's go to the phones. Oscar's with us in Dallas, Texas, to get things started. Hey, Oscar, welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. I just want to start with saying Happy New Year's. And
you too.
I really want to talk about the sleep paralysis, because that has happened to me so many times that I've actually known somehow to control it and how to avoid it. The way I've always avoided it is just by not sleeping at night. It never happens to me if I never sleep at night, but if I sleep during the day, it never happens. When it happens, I tend to know because I can literally wake up and sense that something is
It's starting, yeah.
Yeah, that something is starting, someone is looking at me, and I have seen so many things that I can tell you. Like, I've seen two demons jump on top of me. I've seen the famous witch, you know, where she, when she's...
Yep, the old hag. We call it the old hag.
The old hag. The last one I've seen Slenderman. I think the last demon that I seen was a demon that put his head upside down, and he started licking me with his tongue. And as I'm trying to say something, obviously no one can hear me, and it feels like 1,000 pounds are on your body. But even when you say the name of Jesus Christ, or you're trying to say anything from the Bible, it doesn't help me for whatever reason. That's just my point of view on it. But I've noticed that in 5 seconds, I can actually wake up really, really fast if I really try. But if I do go back to sleep, it will happen again automatically. But I tend not to go back to sleep because I work in the night shift. So now with that, I've noticed that I never get sleep paralysis during the day. It would only happen at night.
Well, wow. it's a syndrome that is pretty darn scary. And, you know, a lot of people feel hopeless, Cheryl, when this happens to them.
There's no other way you could feel. I've experienced some of those encounters myself, and there's no explanation. You wake up and you are scared beyond scare. it's terrifying. You're paralyzed. You can't move anything. And as Robert distinguished between some of the different cases, some of them you're paralyzed and you're frightened. Others, where you have a sense of an unseen presence. And then others, you can identify a presence, but most of them, fortunately, he said, does not involve pain or injury. Some do. So who knows what they want? Are we guinea pigs? Are we lab rats? Or, you know, as Robert said, are they feeding on us for something? It's all very strange. There's a whole big universe out there that we do not know what it's all about.
The old hag syndrome is tied into sleep paralysis, but I got to tell you, that's frightening. I mean, how would you like to wake up with this old hag sitting on your chest, taking your breath away? Jeez.
It wouldn't be my my ideal dream, but I did have one encounter where it was a hooded entity. I mean, that's all I could identify, but just a very dark hooded entity, very scary. The other encounters I had over the years, there was an unseen presence. I had no identity to identify, but it's all very scary. I will say that, and having had those experiences myself, I can relate to the absolute terror involved.
Let's go to Dora in Jersey City. Welcome to the program. Hi, Dora. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody, to John, to you, and to everybody who listening to us.
Thank you.
George and Mrs. Young, right?
Uh-huh.
Cheryl.
Cheryl. You're on with Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay. It's my own experience. I believe, about 4 times in Hollywood, Los Angeles, this experience. Never in Cuba. Never. A sleep paralysis, to me, it has to do with the paranormal. Okay? My aunt was partial paralyzed, and I told her, something is happened to me around 3, in the middle of the night. So I told her, I'm going to sleep in your bed, and my feet by her head, and I say, check, put the clock here, and check me. For 3 days, she was checking. So she said 2 days, at around 3, I was talking. I say, what language? English. With somebody, but friendly, you know? Okay, the scary one was the last one. Okay, it's an identity that being dead. That is, I found out little by little everything. He will come in from my feet, and he will go body with body, no seat in my body, body with body, no sex, okay? It's body with body, sweat, the body of a man sweat. I can feel the hair in the chest sweat a lot.
Did it scare you, Dora?
Eh?
Did it scare you?
No. I will tell a scare later. I will give me a second. He will try to pull me out. Okay. This identity take me to places, but that night I say no, I don't go. And I, in my mind, I am paralyzed, but in my mind, I say I don't go. Okay, finally he left my body like a George, like a suction, like a vacuum clean suction, and he make a noise and hide in the tree that belong my only navel.
Okay, I got the picture there. What a rough experience that was, Cheryl.
Yes. Well, the good thing about...
Plagued by this entity. Jeez.
Yeah. Is that you survive them. So, you know, you do get over them. So that's...
Three nights of that stuff, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And she's from Cuba. A little broken English, but not bad.
Yes.
Not bad, but
hopefully those encounters are behind her.
What's interesting, though, is these episodes cross all boundaries, don't they?
Well, they do, and that was what was interesting also about Robert Gorman's research, that he had researched so many different cultures around the world, but found that these experiences really had no specific cultures that they occurred in. It's across the board. It happened to men. It happened to women. And it happened to children as well. Quite fascinating.
Cheryl, have you been tracking the latest UFO stuff that's been going on?
Oh, man. It seems that every strange story seems now to have a conspiracy theory element, and in many cases, an alien or an extraterrestrial element. Yes, it's quite odd. And then, of course, with the Jesse Marcel, with his family releasing some of his journals and records,
mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. That is very fascinating.
Well, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I just said in the movie that James Fox just came out with, The Phenomenon, which is really, really very good.
Yeah, he's done a good job with that.
A good job, exactly.
Robert Gorman was talking about Nick Redfern, who's a regular guest on our program. He's a great paranormal researcher, Redfern is.
Yes. Robert said they communicated quite a bit, and obviously one of his stories he related from him. And I think there's quite a circle. And as Robert said, he's written for a long time for Fate magazine, and he has several books out, but this one is a Kindle version, so all of that's available for information on his website and his Facebook pages as well.
Next up, we go to Brent in Bakersfield, California. Thanks for holding, Brent. Go ahead.
Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I have, a myriad of stuff that I could discuss tonight, but I'm going to go with the... I guess it was an encounter with E.T. I was going to the local junior college here in Bakersfield College, and was getting ready to go to class. I was sitting in my car. I was facing south, and the street that I was facing is a residential street, but it's rather odd. It's only about a block long, and it's it's supposed to be a one-way street. The students sometimes go the wrong way. But anyway, it comes off of a one-way street that's only one lane wide. Well, and then there's parking. But anyway, this car is coming towards up this one-way road.
Mm-hmm.
Going to make it'd be a left turn in front of me. I don't know what it is about this car that attracted my attention. It was a beat up, raggedy looking car. And as this car makes a left turn in front of me, I'm about the third car down. I mean, there were two other cars closer to the exact turn. But as this car is turning, I'm looking at the driver for some reason. Don't ask me why, but I'm laser focused on this driver.
Yeah.
And I got the impression that she, well, was female, and she is looking at me. And as she is driving past me, I saw something that I will probably never forget. I'm 65, and you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around, but this is going to be with me forever. This, and again, I got the impression that she was female. This entity was operating this car, driving this car.
What it looked like? What it looked like, Brent?
Well, the first thing that I noticed were the arms. The arms were so skinny; it was just incredible.
Almost skeleton-like, I bet.
Yeah, but you couldn't see any bone. They were just. I'm trying to imagine maybe
like Popeye's olive oil, that kind of thin person. Yeah.
There you go, Popeye's olive oil. That's a very apt description. And
what was the face like?
Oh my God, the face was angular. It was almost triangular in shape. She had large, expressive eyes.
Human features?
No. It was not.
Okay. Nothing.
No, it was a. I saw, you know, two arms, shoulders, the neck, the head. That was about as close as human. But no, there was nothing human about this face at all.
Now, was she zooming by you? Did she just stop?
No, not zooming at all. She's doing maybe 5 miles an hour.
All right, just slow enough for you to really notice who it was.
Again, it's in a school parking area, and you can't really drive very fast, especially if you're looking for a parking spot. And there was a car in front of her. And it seemed like she was actually slowing down as she went past me. Again, she's...
What kind of car was it? I'm curious.
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. It was an older car.
All right.
I'm thinking from... like maybe the 80s, 90s.
Nothing spectacular.
No, not at all. What got me the most, though, was her skin. It was polished. It was dimpled. It was almost like it was hammered. You might find a vase or a something in an antique store that has been beaten out by a craftsman, and it's like they used a ball peen hammer on this, you know, the metal to get the shape. That's real fine dimples all over her face, it was like it was hammered, but it was shiny.
How did she disappear? I mean, how did it end up?
How did it end up was that she encountered a very rough spot in the road, and her arm started shaking terribly from it was almost like a pothole that she hit, and it broke her gaze on me and made her realize that the car in front of her had, you know.
Well, I mean, but did she drive away?
Yeah. Yes.
She drove away. We're going to let you react to this, Cheryl, when we come back. On our next Coast to Coast program, I invite you all to join us for our New Year's Eve program. We're going to have psychic Joseph Jacobs and Elizabeth Joyce joining us, and then later on we'll have those 2021 open lines, so just make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with our final segment with Cheryl Jones and your calls. And we were talking with Brent in Bakersfield, California, who was describing this hideous-looking entity that was driving a car at about 5 miles an hour, very thin arms, kind of like a strange triangle-shaped head, and she hit a pothole. She hit the pothole, Brent, and what happened to her?
She hit the pothole, and it shook her arms. I mean, it jolted her out of her gaze to me, and like I said, made her realize that she was lagging behind the car ahead of her, and she all of a sudden she sped up about, you know, maybe 10 miles an hour, I guess, and
speeding.
Off she goes.
and off she took off. Cheryl, I want to ask you this, and thank you, Brad. Have you ever heard a story that had that kind of an entity driving a car?
No, and it makes me scared to go out and drive anymore, but I'm wondering if he thought about getting her license plate.
That's not a bad idea.
Was she from Bakersfield or some other planet out of this world somehow? But I wondered also if anyone else around besides him noticed her, or perhaps was it an entity and a vehicle that was only visible to him?
Well, that's possible, because why would an entity describe the way he described her, or it, want to be driving a car?
That's interesting. I wonder what kind of, he said 80s car, I believe, if I understand.
Yeah, just an old car. He didn't know what kind of model it was.
Yeah, maybe an old Ford or something.
No, don't blame Fords. They're good cars.
I know. I have a T model myself.
Those are great cars. Let's go to Bill, truck driving in South Carolina. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I'm a witch. My earth totem is turtle.
All right.
And I got a couple of really two quick stories and a suggestion for a research project.
Sure.
In my ritual practice, and I'm a spiritual warrior, along with people like the past, Evelyn Paglini and such.
Oh, yeah.
And we have been fighting the left-hand path forever. But my story is this. I astro travel in my practice. So quick story. In an old stone hut along a river, kind of eerie, I'm in there in a window impression. It's all stoned up, so there's a little shelf there. And I'm actually doing ritual on the shelf when a grim reaper, hooded, dark entity came through the room to stop me from what I was doing, because I was battling the darkness. And I actually thrust my sword through his torso, and he disappeared. And then in another story, I was in this old mansion, and I was walking around, and a little old lady approached me in this room, and she was lost, and I led her to the light and opened a portal for her to be able to leave the realm and go into the light. Those are the things that I do in my practice as well. But my research project question is, we have been in this battle for centuries, fighting the dark side of the left-hand path of the spiritual practice.
Sure.
And the elite people around the world, this isn't just, you know, to the States or wherever, but it's all over the world, the one world order, as they used to say, have adopted this spiritual left-hand path practice to gain more power from outside just the normal mundane influences, to try to gain control. Like you've heard, you know, Bohemian Grove, et cetera, et cetera. It's all been talked about over the years. I'd like to see her do some research into this aspect of spirituality and to tie the dots together, you know, follow the path and you will see the light.
That's a future subject matter for you, Cheryl, on witchcraft.
Sure. It sounds very, very good, very intriguing, certainly worth pursuing.
Most of the witches I've interviewed are decent, good people.
Yes, I understand that there's certainly some very good people with very good intentions who are witches.
Kim is with us in Canyon Lake, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Kim.
Hi there. How you doing?
Okay.
All right. My question for Cheryl is, many years ago, I went to Sedona, Arizona, you know, the hotbed for metaphysics.
It sure is.
Yes, indeed. On a spiritual retreat, a 9-day spiritual retreat. and I was staying at my spiritual teacher's, one of her condos, and it was a one bedroom, and I was first night in the bedroom putting my stuff away. I felt uneasy in the room, just very uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I slept on the couch in the living room. And
smart thing to do.
Indeed. And this happened several nights in a row. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I could, where I was sleeping on the couch, look into the bedroom. And I would look into the bedroom, and darker than dark, on the bed, possibly 3 feet tall, were things that were moving around on the bed.
Little creatures.
Yes. I could describe them. It sounds going to sound funny.
Did you think you were dreaming at all, Kim, or you were fully awake?
Oh, I was fully awake.
Okay.
This happened several nights in a row. And one night, I saw them in there, and one of them jumped off the bed and came into the living room. I turned on the light, and it, of course, disappeared.
Poof.
These things were like I said, about 3 feet tall. They were extraordinarily thin, and they walked very crookedly. Follow? Like elbows bent,
yeah,
knees bent.
Yeah.
The hair kind of looked like it was it had been hit by electricity.
Like a dog would walk standing up?
More or less, yes.
Okay.
I told my spiritual teacher about this, and she had one of her folks come and talk with me. He told me it was a gargoyle. Now, not like the ones we see on top of the buildings. Obviously, it didn't have wings. But I'm just not sure. So I wanted to ask Cheryl if she'd ever heard something like that.
That's a strange one, Cheryl.
That's a strange one. No, I haven't. But it's good to hear all of these strange and different stories tonight.
You're getting lots of them tonight.
Were you very scared, or did you just take it in stride?
Yeah, I was a little scared. Like I say, I did not sleep in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it really scared me when one of them jumped off the bed and came into the living room. He was about halfway in there, and I immediately turned on the light, and of course, you know, they all disappeared. But I saw them almost every night on my 9-day spiritual retreat in there. And
they never hurt you or anything like that?
No, never hurt me. The only thing that was ugly was when he jumped off and came at me.
And when you say came at you, like to hurt you or push you or what?
I don't know. I mean, I could see them all on the bed.
And then it just disappeared.
Yes. One jumped off. He came into the living room, halfway through the living room. I flipped on the pole lamp. And then, they disappeared when the light came on. Of course, the next night, they were still there.
All right. Thanks for that story, Kim. Cheryl, what do you think these entities want with humans? What are they after? Are they after the soul? What do they want?
Who knows, George? I don't know, but they obviously want something. They're very aggressive. And like he said, they dematerialized. I don't know if they, in his case, they came through a door or just materialized, you know, out of nowhere. But remember in Robert Gorman's interview, he said there are different ways that they appear. That one case that he talked about, they came in the door and went out the door, which was very unusual. But for them to materialize and then dematerialize, they sure have some superiority over us in some ways, and it's pretty perplexing. They are able to manipulate and diffuse the matter and pass through walls like that. Who knows how they do it, but they sure do want something. You know, perhaps they are feeding on us. Perhaps they're just studying us. I don't know. I'd like to know. We'd all like to know.
Let's go to Omar in the state of Washington. Hi, Omar. What do you got?
Oh, okay. So I called about a month and a half ago about a paranormal situation.
Okay.
Where a phone fell off my desk. A lady whose last name is Broderson. I don't want to say the first
That's okay.
name or anything. So anyways, the phone fell and hit the floor. And so I began to pray the Lord's Prayer. And so I've kept the name of Jesus Christ in my soul and my mind and my body ever since.
That works sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Just two nights ago, I had a dream, a lucid dream, where a bull was outside of my home, and it used its horns and tackled outside of my bedroom, the wall.
Gee, in a dream.
In my dream. And so what I did was, in the spirit realm, I flew and locked my doors. And I was confronting these bulls, like in the spirit realm, bulls. And I don't know if you ever felt or had the sensation of a bull spirit. It is very terrifying.
No, I haven't had one of those at all. And that would be frightening, Cheryl, wouldn't it?
That would be frightening. I think it's interesting that...
There's got to be some symbolism here, too.
Yes, yes. And in using, a lot of people do say that in using the name Jesus Christ, that makes them disappear or leave or exit. So, you know, whatever works. And it's just really intriguing. There are so many different kinds of entities around. We don't know where they come from, what they want, who they are, why they choose the people they choose. Some people have recurring instances, so it would sure be nice to have all these answers, but we just don't know all of that just yet.
Omar, next time we have a dream interpreter on, give us a call. I'd like for that person to try to analyze that one. One of our favorite dream interpreters has passed away, as you know, though, Cheryl, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I miss her.
Yes.
Gosh, she was good.
Oh, yes. She was wonderful.
You know how I first found her? When I'm doing my Nighthawk local show in St. Louis in 1996, I wanted to find a number of paranormal guests for my local show.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to the bookstore, and I'm in the paranormal occult section. And there's a book called The Encyclopedia of Dreams by Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And I picked up the book. I tracked her down, put her on the show, and she was a regular guest for me locally. And as soon as I started doing Coast to Coast on a full-time basis, we brought her in as a guest, and she was an instant success.
Right, right. She was fabulous. And, you know, she wrote for and worked with Phyllis Scaldi of Fate Magazine as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. She was a great writer. We wrote a book called Talking to the Dead. And, I mean, she was tough, too, because I'd say, well, I want this in here. How about this? No. And stuff like that.
She knew her stuff.
Absolutely. Cheryl, we've only got about a minute left, and we're going to see you again the end of January, and then the year gets underway. Mention your website again, and you do take emails through the website, right?
Oh, absolutely. I get a lot of great emails from our Coast listeners, and it's always great to hear from them. And that is CherylJones.com, CherylJones.com.
Cheryl, we're going to be live tomorrow night, and listen in if you can on our New Year's Night program. And then on Sunday night, we're celebrating my upcoming 19 years of doing Coast to Coast. We're going to have a special from the last 2 hours. So if you're around, listen in on that too, okay?
I sure will, and a big congratulations to you. That's phenomenal.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You are phenomenal.
And we will talk to you the end of January. That's Cheryl Jones, our investigative reporter. And again, we'll be live for you tomorrow night on New Year's night. So have a nice little supper or get together with your friends or family or just be private. And then come radio time, just turn it on to Coast to Coast. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Benally, and Punnett and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.